All right, amen. Well, it's good to be here, and we're going to preach. Jacob said his dad's been preaching Matthew for probably 5 years, so let's go to Matthew 11. We don't want to disappoint anybody, amen. Matthew chapter 11, and we love our church. It's a blessing to be back. Now, of course, we've gone a little over a month, and you know what's good about church is you can come in here and you just let all that mess go on the outside, and all that pressure been on me. I can come in here, man, it's just a relax, amen. Enjoy being around God's people. And I'll probably come back tomorrow morning. But anyways, it's good to be here this morning, amen. And Brother Jack Lewis has been helping me work on that house. Of course, my boys, and working them like government mules, amen. And so dragging them out of bed. Brother Jack Lewis, all y'all might not know him, but he's sitting back here, amen, in the back, in the middle. And he's so calm, quiet, reserved. Put him on job site. He's an animal. Man, that guy outworked most guys in here, amen. But, man, he's being a blessing. Of course, Brother Billy Richburg's been a help to me. He's had to leave, and hopefully he'll be getting to come back. And we sure miss them, but it's just been a blessing. And, you know, the days right now that's on us and is crazy. And I wish I was smooth, you know, didn't let anything bother me. You hang around me a little bit, you'll find out I make coffee nervous. But I'm not that way. I wish I was just calm. But, you know, I mean, I got a house I'm trying to build, amen. And then you got to pick this out and pick that out, and you got to find help. And then I got to build a house, you know. And I got another kid that's Mark's fixing to go to college, and I got a house to build, and we got to find Mark a car, and I got a house to build, you know. And I got a wife and two daughters, and I got a house to build. And everybody needs something. Everybody wants something. I got a house to build, amen. So if you see me jerk or I might say something maybe off color. Hey, just forgive me. I'm trying to build a house, amen? So, and if you're itching to work and you just say, man, I want to build something, you come on out, we'll let you work with us and sweat and, you know, and all that kind of good stuff, amen. Matthew chapter number 11, Matthew 11 this morning, and it's just a blessing to be here, and it's a privilege to be able to preach in Preacher's Place, and I do thank him for that opportunity. Let me read to you verse 1 through 6. The Bible said it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and for the privilege, Lord Jesus, to be able to preach. Lord, I pray that, dear Jesus, you would use this message to be a help to God's people. Lord, I'm thrilled to be able to be at this place, to be in this church, Lord, this day. And Father, I pray that, God, that you'd meet with us. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for the sweet spirit. Thank you for God's people and the good friends we have here. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this church would be a great lighthouse to this area. And Father, we sure love you and praise you. And I'm asking for the help of the Holy Ghost in preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible said this, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Picture this great man John sitting in prison. And according to the scriptures, we believe there's no doubt that John was discouraged. I mean, most of us would be. I mean, the man has done great work for God. I mean, he was probably no doubt known of many people. And here we are finding him sitting in prison, not because of doing wrong, but because of doing right. And he sends two of his disciples to go see Jesus and ask him some questions. So John's disciples go to Galilee, where they heard that Jesus was in the city of Nain. And they enter into the city, and there are people everywhere wanting to see this man, Jesus, that they also might be healed. Try to picture the scene in your eyes. As they walk into the city, they see the sick that are there. The lame is there. There is so much suffering. Everywhere they look, there are people there hoping that they too will get to meet this one called Jesus and will be healed of their infirmity. There's no doubt who these men were, for John the Baptist was no stranger. And neither were his disciples, for they favored the one that they followed. And the word, I believe, gets back to Jesus, and John's disciples are here, Jesus. And so Jesus knew why they were there and what was on their heart. And so John's disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Jesus answered them. He said, go your way, tell John the things that you have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor, the gospel's preached. And Jesus says this, no doubt with a heavy heart, no doubt concern for John. He knows what's going on in John's life. And he tells him, he says, tell John, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. I'll take you now, friend, to the message that I want to preach. I want to preach this morning on, has God lived up to your expectations? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, it said, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, which is excessive sternness. So if you would, picture a million plus slaves on the banks of the Nile River. They're in the fields. They're everywhere you look. And they are serving the Egyptians. The children of Israel cry out to their God, but yet their God does not answer. They cry because of the bitter, hard, harsh, forceful way in which they were made to serve. They cried out that God would free them from this hard bondage that they were under. They were made to serve hard, and they died, many of them, not understanding why the Lord would not answer that prayer. They were in chains and bondage all their life. They watched their children as they grew up in that bondage, wondering if they too would also die in slavery, and many of them did die also in that life. Their children's children have also lived this life of hard bondage. Never, it seemed, to be released from that bondage. It seemed that God did not care. It seemed maybe to them that God did not hear them. And this continued on for generation after generation. For almost 400 years, no response from God. No prayers, it seemed, answered. No explanation from God. Yet God, we don't see that God ever gave them one reason why He did not answer them, except for what they had done back years ago. And can I say to you, many of them lived their whole entire life and died without God ever getting them out of bondage. Then the most horrible day came. What are the screams and cries of those that are being heard? Panicked mothers and fathers running and screaming through the streets of Goshen. There, think about this. The soldiers are going through the city. They're killing all the baby boys. Mothers are screaming and crying because their baby might have gotten thrust through by a sword or thrown even in the Nile River to the crocodiles. Where's God at? They don't know why God's allowing this to happen. They don't know that God, they did not know that God would deliver them from this what's taking place in their life. And they did not know that God would avenge the death of their children. They died with a question, why has God not lived up to our expectations? God didn't have to let this happen. The Bible said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Job, a man that was perfect and upright before the Lord, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job is a man that was very conscious of how clean he and his family were before God. This is a man that ran from sin, did not allow sin into their home or life without stamping it out immediately. A man that loved God with all of his heart. He's the only man that God said was perfect and upright. This is a man, friend, that was very blessed with material goods and of the world. He was rich, if you would, with money and much livestock to go with it. He also had servants and a wonderful family of 7 sons and 3 daughters and his wife. Job was the kind of man that would help the fatherless. He was the kind of man that would help the widow. He would help those that were down and out, no doubt that were hungry. He would, and we, friend, us, would not expect Job any hardship for him. Matter of fact, those that Job helped would not expect God to allow anything to happen to him because of all the good that maybe he had done. But Job himself did not expect this kind of hardship from God. Then the day came, the worst day of Job's life, the day that nobody on the face of the earth would ever want to experience. All is well, Job thinks. Maybe he just got done spending time in communion with God. I don't know. Maybe he's enjoying the beautiful day that the Lord had made for Job that day. And he looks and he sees a servant running toward him in a panic state and cries out, sir, the oxen were plowing, the asses feeding, the Sabaeans came and took them all away and killed all the servants, and only I escaped. He looks before that servant is done speaking, and another come running up to him, crying out, sir, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned the sheep and all the servants, and only I escaped. He looks before that servant is done speaking, and another servant comes running up and says, "Sir, the Chaldeans came to the and came and took all the camels away. They killed all the servants, and only I escaped." He looked before that servant was done speaking, and another servant comes running and crying out as he's weeping and tells Job how his children were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house when a great wind from the wilderness came and smote the four corners of the house, Job, and all your children are dead, and I alone escaped to tell you. All his children. 7 sons, 3 daughters, an unnumbered amount of servants, all the oxen, all the asses, all the sheep, all the camels. He lost his health. He lost the confidence of his wife. He was attacked by his 3 friends. And Job sits among the ashes and he cries out 7 days later. And he said, "Let the day perish wherein I was born. Let the night in which it was said, there's a man shall be conceived." He said, "Let the day be darkness. Let it not, let God not regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it." He said, "Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. For as for the night, let darkness seize upon it." He said, "Let it not be joined in the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo," he said, "let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it," he said, "that curse the day who are ready to raise up their morning." He said, "Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes." He said in Job 6, verses 8 through 9, he said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." Listen to what he said. "Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off." You know what Job wanted? He wanted to die. Job did not expect this from God. Who would have ever expected God to allow something like this to happen to anyone that lives this righteous of a life as Job did? A man that endeavored to be clean. But God did not live up to Job's expectations. Jeremiah, before he was born, he was sanctified, ordained to be a prophet unto the nations. He was touched by God. He spoke the words of God. He was a man that came from God. He was called of God to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah was a man that did and said exactly what God told him to do and say. Even though there were times he was smote in the face before all, he was humiliated before many. He was cast into prison, not for doing wrong, but for telling them what the Lord had said. In chapter 32, Jeremiah questioned God about all this happened to him and questioned why God wanted him to buy a piece of property. And he felt like God was deceiving him. Jeremiah said in chapter 20, verse 7 through 9, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me." That's what Jeremiah said. He said, "And I was deceived." He said, "Thou art stronger than I, hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." I mean, Jeremiah is saying this. He's saying, "Lord, you deceived me. I've been deceived, and because of the word of the Lord," he's saying, "I've been mocked. I've been scorned." He's saying, "God, this is not what I expected when I surrendered to you. This is not how I thought my life was going to be." Jeremiah was deceived by others. He was lied about. He was hated. He was sought out to be killed. He was drug off into strange lands. He was bound by chains and in prison. He was hungry. He was let down in the lowest and filthiest part of the prison. He was found sitting in the mire and in his own waste, about to die from starvation. That's the way Jeremiah was. The great prophet of God. The mighty prophet of God. And here's what he said. "Cursed be the day wherein I was born." He said, "Let not the day when my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man that brought tidings to my father, saying, A man child is born, and are they making him very glad. Let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontime, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame." You know what Jeremiah is saying? Jeremiah is saying, "God, you didn't live up to my expectations. This is not what I expected." What about the children of Israel? When King Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem, overtook the city, and the soldiers came in and began to murder their wives, their husbands, their children, their parents, their friends, that all happened. Then they destroyed the temple. They burnt their homes. They burnt their city. They carried them off into bondage for 70 years. Where's God at? That's what their thinking is. What about Joseph? sold by his brethren into slavery, lied about, sent to prison for years with all the heartache he went through in prison life away from his family. What about David? He was lied about, ridiculed, run for his life from a king for years, hiding and scavenging out in the woods and mountains. What about Ezekiel and the loss of his wife and the strange, humiliating things that he had to go through? What about Daniel, friend? How he was drug off from his family into a strange land at a young age. He was made to serve and live in captivity around vile wickedness and nakedness and filth, and also thrown into the den of lions at an older age. What about Hosea and how he had to marry a wife of whoredoms, a filthy, unclean girl that would practice unclean, adulterous things? This is a girl that also would commit the awful sin of adultery on Hosea. May I say to you, friend, in Numbers 11, Moses wanted to die. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah wanted to die. What about Peter and James and John and all the disciples and Paul and all that went through in their life? May I say to you that God did not live up to their expectations also? But every one of these that we mention in the Scriptures, every one of them did great works for God. But God didn't do for them what they thought God should have done for them. May I say to you, dear friend, I can't tell you why the God of heaven that can do anything allows people to get cancer, have strokes, have heart attacks, get MS and disease. We look even in our own church and I think about Brother Dave and all that him and Mindy's going through, and I don't understand it, and I shake my head and I wonder why. And we don't understand that. We don't understand why God allows people to be handicapped, lose their limbs, be mentally challenged, or suffer physically. I don't know why God lets children get Down syndrome and autism, be born deaf or blind or mentally handicapped. Why he lets little boys and girls be molested and abused by demon-possessed individuals. I don't understand why the God of heaven that can do anything will allow people to be murdered and raped and kidnapped for years, or people lose their homes or their vehicles or their finances or their jobs. I don't understand why he lets people's mates die, or their children die, or their mother die, or their father or their friend. I don't understand why the God of heaven that can do anything will allow people to destroy other people's lives through deceiving and sin and wickedness. I don't understand why he lets a drunk or somebody high on drugs drive down the road and hit, kill, and paralyze somebody that's innocent. I don't know why one person, he allows him to have money and nice things, but he doesn't allow you. I don't know why one preacher will have a church of 10 members and another preacher have a church of 1,000. I can't tell you why somebody might have a better job than you, a better ministry than you, a better home than you, a better car than you, a better family than you, a better wife than you, a better husband than you, a better opportunity at life than you have. I don't understand that, but I can tell you this, and I can tell you what God said. He said, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." People say, "Where's God at when this happened or when that happened?" May I say to you, he's in the same place he was when John the Baptist was in prison. He's in the same place he was when the children of Israel were in bondage. He's in the same place he was when Elijah was running and hiding from Jezebel. He's in the same place he was when Job and Jeremiah and David and Joseph and Peter and Paul and a host of others was going through hardship and trouble and heartache in their life. The Bible said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Hebrews 11:36 says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of a bonds and imprisonment." 1 Peter 1:7, the Bible said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I say to you, dear friend, I don't understand why God allows things to happen to us in our life. And I'm not trying to belittle your circumstance. Please don't misunderstand me, because everything that takes place in our life is big to us. Amen. And God may not have lived up to our expectations, and he may not have lived up to the great men and women of God in the past either. But I say to you, friend, God is still God, and God is on his throne, and God is worthy of praise, and God is worthy of giving our life to. Amen. So I ask you some questions and I'll be done. Number one, here's the question. Will you let a God save your soul that has not lived up to your expectations? Now, I understand that there's probably many here this morning that are saved, but I also understand there's probably some here that are lost. And I wonder how many people are there in this world that have never been truly born again because of the circumstances or the things that have taken place in their life or the life of somebody they love, therefore they blame God. They raise their fists at God and they say, "I don't want that God because he didn't do this or that for me." Or they're mad at God because He allows something to happen to them or a family member. They mock you for believing in a God that allows bad things to happen to people. They refuse to believe in a God that they can't control or figure out. They'll not believe in a God that they can put in a box and control. They refuse to give their soul to a God that will not allow their life to go according to their plan. Let me say to you, friend, that's the world's thinking. The Jews and the Pharisees was not expecting a man on the foal of an ass. Instead, they were expecting a king on a white horse to come and destroy Rome and rule and reign. But listen, did it happen? Did happen that way. In John 6, Jesus is preaching about Himself and who He is. And if they eat of Him, then they'll have eternal life. You remember that passage? And many of His disciples, the Bible says, were offended and they turned and went away. Why? Because that's not what they expected from God. In John 6:67, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away?" You know what He was asking? Are you offended too? The religious crowd has their expectations how the Lord should do what He does. The intellectual crowd has their own way of thinking at how God is or how He should be. The individual has his or her expectation of what God should have done for them. The fool has his way of thinking at how God should live up to his expectations. The Bible said this over there in Hebrews 11. It said, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." The Bible said in John 8:24, listen to me, dear friend, if you're lost, He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." So I say to you this morning, regardless if God lives up to your expectations or not, without salvation, you will die in your sins. If you're here this morning without Christ, I beg of you, friend, to forget about all the things that have taken place in life and give your heart to Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I wonder how many people today are living their life mad or displeased at the God of heaven because of the circumstances of life or the things that have taken place in their life that they do not like or they do not understand, and God has not lived up their expectations. Therefore, they don't want anything to do with a God like that. Friend, the only place for a person like that is a place called hell. And I say to you, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Question number two. Will you serve a God, church, that does not live up to your expectations? How many have never got to the place of true service for the Lord because God did not live up to their expectations in life? In other words, God didn't do for them what they thought He should have done. The Bible said in Matthew 5:45, "that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh the sun, His Son to rise on the evil and on the good." The Bible said He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, let me say it this way. Good things happen to everybody and bad things happen to everybody. Everybody's going by the way of the grave unless the rapture takes place. Amen. And it is appointed unto man once to die. So here's the question I got for you, Mom and Daddy. You listening, young people? Do we skip out on the best thing that could ever happen to us in our life because God did not live up to our expectations? Or do we say, "Well, I don't want to serve a God like that. He didn't do for me what I thought He should have done for me." Hear me now, friends. God is sovereign and He does as He pleases, and He owes you and I no explanation. Jonah is a perfect illustration of somebody that did not want to serve God because he did not like the circumstances or the outcome that would follow. What does he do? He runs from God. He doesn't want to go where God called him because he wants them people to burn in hell. That's why. He gets swallowed by a whale, and after 3 days and three nights, he repents. And then he preaches only what he has to say, sits in anger waiting for God to destroy the Ninevites. And now he's mad because they got right with God and God didn't kill them. You know what? None of it happened the way Jonah wanted it to happen. God didn't live up to Jonah's expectations because Jonah is selfish, he's prejudiced, he cares only about what he wants, and he's mad at God, and now he don't want to serve God. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible of Jonah, he says this, "I just want to die." Jonah 2:8 said this, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." In other words, don't listen to the lying vanities of your heart. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. But if you listen to them lies, dear friend, of the devil, he'll tell you, then you'll miss out on what the God of heaven wants to do with you and through you. And I wonder today, how many are sitting in churches this morning, even right here this morning, doing absolutely nothing for the God of heaven, or maybe not even going to church on a regular basis because of some circumstance or something that took place in their life, and they didn't expect God to let that happen. Therefore, they don't want to serve a God like that. Let me remind you, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Question number 3. Will you stay faithful to a God that does not live up to your expectations? How many people do you and I know that used to serve God, yet today they're out? Let me give you what Job said, the man that went through, I believe, the hardest thing as far as trial and turmoil. Next to John, he said this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job was saying, no matter what the Lord does or allows to happen to me, I will trust him. In other words, he was saying this, I'll be faithful to him. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-11, listen to what he wrote. Paul wrote, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Boy, I feel like that. Building a house, amen. We are persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And I say to you different, let me say it this way. We don't understand everything that happens in our life, but what happens to us is for His good and for His glory. I ask the question, how in the world is the God of heaven going to get any glory out of the individual that quits on him or gets out of his will? The Bible says, and it teaches us of all these stories that took place with these great men and women of God. And I say to you, the Bible is not a fairy tale book. Those are real people, real life stories, yet they stay faithful to God. People like Moses and Joshua and Abraham. Joseph and David and Daniel, 3 Hebrew children. Peter and James and John, the disciples. Read about what happened to them guys. Paul and Timothy and a host of others in the Bible. God did not always live up to their expectations, but they stayed faithful anyway. I reminded of Dr. Green, preacher. All the years that great man of God's been faithful. Many of you don't know him, some of you do. He's been faithful even though his wife, his first wife, died with cancer. And then his daughter Mary, who was a missionary to New Guinea, died with cancer. And then his son, who was his right-hand man for years, Steve, died with cancer. God did not live up to his expectations. But today, he's probably in church. If his health is allowed it, he's there. He's shouting the victory. The Bible said in Psalm 101, verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Proverbs, the Bible says in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Matthew 25:23, the Bible said, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I say to you, has God lived up to your expectations? I want to go back to John. I want to read the text there again. Miss Kim, you can come, sis. The Bible says this. Jesus answered, said unto them, verse 4, go and show John again those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Think about John, if you would. He walked and lived in the desert for weeks, months, and years. Are you with me? John was a man that practiced fasting regularly. John's diet was not one that many would enjoy. His food came from the harsh desert, locusts, wild honey, and bland food probably. His skin, I'm sure, was rough from the hot desert sun. A man that was faithful under the hardest extremes of life. A man, I believe, had a harder task than any other man on earth other than Jesus Christ himself. Even though John was such a great man. Are you hearing me? The Lord was no different with John than he was anybody else. And that is this. God does not always make it clear why He has allowed certain things to take place in our life. John's disciples return to John where he sits in that dark, slimy, cold, filthy dungeon. They explain to John, "We found Jesus in the city of Nain. We asked Him your question, and He said, 'Tell you the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them.'" And John, he said one more thing. He said, "Tell you, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Soon His disciples leave Him, maybe for the last time, I don't know. John sits in that quiet, lonely place. Think about him as he dwells on the words that Jesus said. The lame, the blind, the deaf are healed. The gospel's preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In that quiet, lonely, cold, dark dungeon, the words go over and over in John's mind. Someday or so, I don't know how many days later, a noise is heard off in the distance of a party that has taken place in Herod's palace. All the filthy, naked, drunken acts with vile, ungodly music is being acted out in their banquet room. John still sits there, sitting in there thinking about the words over in his mind, what Jesus said, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." He hears the commotion of the soldiers outside of his cell. Something does not seem right to John. Something does not feel right about what's happening. The doors swing open wide. "John, your time has come." They unshackle him as they explain that Herodias was dancing before Herod. And he has told her she can ask for whatever she wants. And her mother told her to ask for your head, John. The realization suddenly came to John that everything he had hoped for and had expected from God was not going to take place. His life and how he lived flashes before his eyes. He thinks maybe of his mom and his dad and how they raised him and prepared him to be the prophet, preacher, and the man that he was. He did not expect to be in prison. And he definitely did not expect to have his head cut off and given to his enemy as a gift. John thought, no doubt, that he would get to watch Jesus Christ bring in the kingdom. And that he would get to reign with him. But nothing is happening the way that John expected it to happen. And then he thinks those words, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John will never possibly see his 31st birthday. John will never know what it's like to have a wife and children and feel the intimate love of a family. Maybe the thought goes through his mind, "My whole life has been a life of separation and very little pleasure." John would not know how important his life was. John would not know that Jesus said he was the greatest born of women. John, no doubt, slowly walks up the prison corridor thinking, "My life is almost over. I did not expect this to happen in my life." And then the phrase in his heart comes again, "Blessed is he, John, whosoever shall not be offended in me." The prisoners are quiet. The soldiers are quiet. John is quiet as they walk through that dark hall and then outside. Possibly they can hear the party in Herod's palace. As John looks, he sees the executioner with the axe in his hand. He sees the chop block. He walks there slowly to that place of death. He thinks, "So this is the end of my life. It's over." Had no idea it was going to be this way. Then those words again, "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." They have him kneel, bend over. As they position his head on the block, John probably thinks one more time, "I didn't expect this. It's almost over." The soldier raises his arm, his weight shifts, the axe comes down. John's head falls to the ground. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Let me ask you a question, dear friend. Has God lived up to your expectations? Maybe you sit here this morning lost on your way to a devil's hell, and you're mad at God. Oh, dear friend, the best thing you could ever do is come to Christ. Or maybe you're sitting here and you don't like because God didn't answer your prayer, or God didn't do this for you, or why has this happened, or why did that happen, and you've not been serving God like you should. Or maybe you're just not faithful. I can't tell you why bad things happen to God's people, but I can tell you there are good people that bad things have happened to that are still serving God. They're still trusting God. They're still being faithful to God. And I wonder how many sits here. And I tell you what Jesus said. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." When it's quiet.